Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left
field! Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark! You can't put it on the ball!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
The White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking, with free ATMs from coast to coast. For more information, you go to their special White Sox webpage. It's www.wintrust.com/sox. Chuck Garfine here with Ryan McGuffin and Vinny Duber. Guys, it's a free agent. White Sox fans have been thinking about, dreaming about for 2 years now. No, I'm not talking about Lonnie Chisenhall or Asdrubal Cabrera or Tony Sipp or Edwin Jackson or Tyler Clippard, who will all be free agents this winter, and you're salivating at the possibilities of them joining the White Sox. No. Talking about the big fish, the franchise-altering all-star who is hitting free agency at the ripe old age of 26. His name is Manny Machado. Ryan McGuffey, you've given this much thought. Your brain, I can see it. It's been, you've had Manny Machado on the brain for weeks and months. What's going to take to get Manny Machado to the South Side?
Creativity.
Creativity.
And obviously money. So you need to have some kind of combination of both of those. And I've been throwing this formula at you for quite a long time, both of you. And let's just say that $300 million is going to be the high watermark to get him signed, whether it be the Yankees, the Phillies, but we're talking about the White Sox. So 8 years, $300 million, and opt-outs are big these days. Everyone loves them. And so we're going to give Manny Machado an opt-out in our creative proposal. After 4 years, that'll get him here. You're buying him early because you're not quite ready in 19, but 19, 20, 21, 22. Those are, you're guaranteeing those four with you. He's opting out after four. You're paying $200 million up front. So 50 per for 4 years.
$50 million.
$50 million per for 4 years, which would be the highest salaried player in baseball. It would trump, which I think it's 37 or 38 right now. So you're going to lift that 12 or 13 million. To get Manny Machado to be a part of this rebuild, be the face of your franchise, be the face of this entire thing, and have the opt-out. He'll be 30, so at 30 he definitely would assume opt-out. And if he doesn't, it helps you on the back end of that because now it's 4 for $100. So it's 8 years, $300 million, four for $200 up front, and everyone's gonna be like, "Oh my God, $50 million!" You're right, that is a lot of money. But right now on the books for 2019, you got roughly $14.3 million by the time James Shields is not picked up.
There's the arbitration stuff. So that's going to probably go up to about 30 or 40 or 50. I don't mean,
yes.
50.
So you're 50, let's say you're sitting at $50 million for 19 and, quite frankly, 22, because right now you're at 20 or like 17.2, and that's obviously without arbitration. So, yeah, one guy making $50 million, that sounds absolutely asinine and insane, but look at what's behind, like, you want Manny Machado on the White Sox. Mm-hmm. He's looking around going, market-wise, he's looking at market, he's looking at value, and he's looking at where he fits in the process. So you want to get – the market's great.
Yeah.
You're basically saying, be the face of this team. We got the Cubs up north, but you're going to be the face of this rebuild. So you got a big market, a lot of money, more money up front than any other team's going to be able to offer you. And you're starting the trend of we're about ready to win.
All right, I got some thoughts, but Vinny, you're sitting here, you've had your mind working. What do you think about what Guff's saying, his proposal?
Well, I will say this, that's probably as close as you're going to get to being able to get Manny Machado, because I think there's one element to that that trumps all others, and that would be more money than anybody else. If the White Sox offer more money than anybody else offers, I think you got a better shot. That being said, it really comes down to the pitch that a team like the New York Yankees could give him of, let's start a dynasty right now. You see these guys, we won 100 games this year. You see the Aaron Judge and the Miguel Andujar and all these guys that we've got right now who are ready to go superstars.
Anton, you're in the middle of those.
You join them, you come with them, and let's do a dynasty. The White Sox have to pitch. We think this is going to be a dynasty. And if every prospect turns out to be as good as the White Sox think they're going to be, then that's what they'll have on their hands.
Yep.
But you don't know that that's what's going to have. You don't know that that's what's going to happen, and you cannot pitch 2019 championship level success to Manny Machado.
All right. So Sox fans are wondering, the Sox won't spend the money. They're not going to do it. Well, we can give you this. First off, here's what Rick Hahn said at Sox Fest last year, or this year, I should say, 2018. Quote, ultimately competing for free agents and targeting big ticket items and hopefully converting on them will be the next logical step when the time is right. I can certainly assure you the resources will be available. Does that mean $50 million a year for 4 years? Would they do it? I don't know.
It fits into the actual team,
yeah.
Where it fits into the equation of, you know, team payroll, when you break it down, it might.
And then there was some precedent with Jerry Reinsdorf. Back in 1996, he made Albert Bell the highest paid player in baseball. It was the first $10 million contract in baseball. And if you can go backwards 20 years, people were like, what, $10 million for a player? What? That's kind of the same reaction in a way I had when you said, I thought $50 million a year for Manny Machado. And the argument against that would be, well, where has that been for the last 20 plus years? Why haven't they done it? And what I say to that is, well, they haven't really been in that situation to do that.
Who exactly did they miss out on? I'm not lying here.
That's what I was going to get to. Yeah.
Who are you so mad about that, oh my God, we missed on him? Because
I would say Max Scherzer. That would have been nice.
Yeah, that would have been nice, but that wasn't realistic at the time.
Right, like, I agree.
When it all lines up, you know, had they paid Maglio Ordóñez in 2005, Jermaine Dye's not here, and who knows what happens. So, like, people were mad when they let him go to the Tigers, and guess what? It worked out. Now, look, they haven't been to the postseason in 10 years. I get it. That's inexcusable. But I'm so sick of hearing about the Jerry's cheap and the White Sox are cheap and they don't do this. It's just not factually true. If you look across the board, you know, they picked between Burley and John Danks, and they gave John Danks $65 million and Burley walked. That was an unpopular decision.
They've swung and missed on free agents in the past, but they've gone down swinging. They went for Adam Dunn. That was a swing and a miss. They got Jose Abreu. There was a year
The organizations that have gone and landed these guys, you know, how the Boston Red Sox feel about Carl Crawford after 2 years?
Yeah.
You know? How the Cubs, Yu Darvish after 1 year. We'll see what happens there. We can go back and forth with this. There was a lot of swing and misses. How about the Red Sox?
I can stay
in Boston. How about Kung Fu Panda? Pablo Sandoval got 5 years, $90 million. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah.
5 years, $90 million? I think he played 80 games. He ate his way out of Boston. He almost ate his way out of baseball.
Right.
So I'm passionate about this because I'm like, maybe saving the money was the right move for a $50 million a year player. I don't think the White Sox are going to sign Manny Machado. I really want to be blown away, but I do think this podcast is about how to get Manny Machado. I think the White Sox being creative in how they get him is the only way they land him.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. If the White Sox I know they have the big whiteboard and they've been plotting out, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22, and who they expect prospect-wise they're going to be here and who they see free agent fits as guys too. 1A, 1B, 2, all that stuff. If Manny Machado 2 years ago was put as their number one guy on your whiteboard, then you have to get him.
I think it's there. I'm guessing it's there.
Then you've got to.
Because why wouldn't it be? That has to be. Like, what do you?
I think he's there because of the talent. Yes.
Right, right, right.
But you have to line up the list with the talent, the expectation of what it's going to years and money. If that fits, and he becomes number one. Manny Machado might be number three on that list because of all of the factors.
I guess I have him in my imagination being there in reality.
I agree.
If Manny Machado is not on your list, well, what are you doing in the first place?
Totally agree with you.
Like, you started this rebuild. Manny Machado is available. Let's go down that road and see if we can get him.
Yeah, I would say that obviously you get a chance to get Manny Machado, you get him. Your team's going to be better if you have Manny Machado on it. But the White Sox need to think about what they're getting out of that investment, right? Because
I'm ready
for you. You're getting a great you're getting a great player who's coming off a career year and a guy you'd want to have on your team regardless of your situation. That being said, the Baltimore Orioles had Manny Machado the first half of this season, and it didn't do anything for them in the standings.
Because they had no talent.
They were starting their teardown,
The team around him has to be a contending group in order for him to be a kind of guy that can get you to the World Series where you want to be.
Correct.
We don't know, and I'm sure the White Sox have a better grasp on it, but probably a bit more uncertain than they were a year ago, is where they are in this process because of the injuries that happened throughout the farm system this year. Are they going to sign Manny Machado for 4 years and get a contending team for three of those? Or is it only going to be two of those? Or is it only going to be one of those?
If it's one of those, you're not signing him.
Right, because and the investment then doesn't make sense. Also, it becomes even harder to convince him to come here. But does anybody know the answer to that question? And that's kind of a tricky situation to enter this process with.
The White Sox last winter, by all accounts in the reports, looked like they were trying to trade for him. They were, and not just to do it, hey, let's get him in here for 1 year. Because they wanted to, like, hey, we're looking long-term here. We get Manny Machado here for a year. He spends some time here. And then we're not just, oh, the Chicago White Sox were interested in you. You've never been in our clubhouse. No, you've been in our clubhouse. You know what it's like here. Maybe that will carry some more weight when you become a free agent. I think that's what they were going for, if judging by the reports, if those were true. And if they were, then here we are a year later. I can't say, even though you're saying, where is this franchise right now? I think, you know what? If you get Machado, you put this thing on the faster track to get to that point.
Definitely.
That you're going to win.
Definitely. You've made the comparison recently of what the Cubs did with John Lester.
Yes.
John Lester was brought in to a team that was seemingly not
ready.
Right, nowhere near ready to go.
Yeah.
But does John Lester plus that group of Cubs that was around him going into the 2015 season, is it equal to, greater than, or less than Manny Machado plus the group of Major League White Sox that?
But
that
I think if they get Machado, then they start making a couple other moves too.
I would say it's less than barely. Honestly, if you think about it, if you actually, you have Eloy Jimenez, it's Chris Bryant, right? I mean, if you're making, we have to make comps,
right.
And then all of the guys that weren't supposed to come up so early that they just brought up together, the Schwarbers, the Russells. Rizzo was already up here too, but he was already here for 3-4 years before that. So if you look, with Dylan Cease, is it logical to say he'd be up by July 1 if Manny Machado's here? Probably, maybe, assuming that everything worked checked out.
I feel like they're a little behind where the Cubs were.
Well, because they don't have the position depth, the Cubs, they have the pitching depth. So the Cubs had the position players, the White Sox have the pitching players.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about this.
I'll just say this. While you think about it, Manny Machado absolutely kickstarts the whole thing.
It does.
May not speed it. I would not say the White Sox are going to win 97 games and go to the wild card game and, end up in the ALCS. But I certainly think expectations to be a 500 team should be realistic.
Is that worth $50 million?
It is, because instead of being 19 going, I think we're ready now, now you, in 20, you're just going, boom, let's go. And the other thing that John Lester did, the other thing that John Lester signed while we're on this topic, it woke up the rest of baseball. It woke up everybody else and said, holy crap, those guys they're serious. And they got a guy who's been a legend in Boston. I know he was traded. A legend in Boston to say, you know what, I'm buying into that.
Yeah, so it's a ripple effect.
It's a wake-up call. It takes a guy with stones to actually want to be that guy. I think a lot of players would shy away from that attention.
Does Manny Machado want to be that guy, though?
I don't know.
Lester is that guy.
Yep, Lester played for six Theo Epstein teams.
Yeah. He did. But I will say this. I mean, if some guys don't have that, they just want the money. And look, the money's going to bring the spotlight whether you like it or not. But if you could be buried and stuck in between Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees and Giancarlo Stanton and just be in the mix, then, yeah, that takes some attention off.
Going back to the $50 million a year, whatever it's going to take to sign him, I found this Jerry Reinsdorf quote after they signed Bell. And he said, because people were saying, what are you doing spending all this money on one player? And he said, quote, it is perfectly fiscally responsible for us to give him this money. We have an obligation to our fans to try to win. Reinsdorf cited a need to win back fans. This was in the New York Times.
Yeah.
I'm now quoting the writer of it, who said, Reinsdorf cited a need to win back fans, having seen home attendance fall from 2.9 million in 1991 when they opened the park to 1.6 million in 1996 when the Sox were in contention with the Indians. You sign Manny Machado, you get some of that money back because I'd like to think more fans are coming out of the ballpark to watch them play.
No doubt. Well, there's something you didn't bring. I mean, the strike certainly impacted that big time, especially with what people thought of Jerry in that time. So there's a little bit of that there. Attendance-wise, absolutely. I mean, look at Sox Fest last year. It was sold out because of the buzz of the prospects and where everybody, like, people like us had told them where they're at and how close they are, and look, you should be excited. And now I think people are kind of, it's more of like, there's a little, probably more intrepidation right now than there was a year ago at this time, even though people were told like 2018 is going to be bad. But now that it's actually been bad and then some of the prospect injuries and stuff, I think people are really excited and going, okay, what is going to happen? Who are they going to sign? Am I buying in? This is the toughest part of being a fan of the rebuild, is because you're trying to figure out like, man, is this going to work?
But I don't know if Rickon cares about that. And that's not a slight at him or any of the fans at all, because they've been generally very good in buying into this whole process.
Yep.
But, I mean, we asked him, what, once a week last year, you know, when is Michael Kopech going to be here? When is Eloy Jimenez going to be here? And one of his answers that he would always give was, we're not going to rush this thing just because to generate some excitement, or just because people think we need to rush it along. I don't know where they think things stand after the injuries that happened specifically to Michael Kopech, but to a bunch of guys in that minor league system. But maybe they think, maybe they're still in the middle of that waiting game and they're still preaching patience.
Yeah, well, he brought up trying to find some starting pitching. And so I think that, you know, if they get Machado, you don't have Kopech, but they'll find someone else who's maybe not be as good as him, but he's someone who can, you can stick in there in the meantime.
I want to say this one last point on Machado and big money. If the White Sox are really going to be in on Machado, I think they'll be in, meaning they're not going to come over and say, hey, we're going to give you 150, but here's how we're going to do it. It's either you're in the game or you're not. Mm-hmm. They know the number it's going to take. I'm sure that they've already done all their due diligence and homework, and with, you know, knowing the agent and everything. And if Manny Machado goes to the Yankees or goes to any other franchise, usually what happens is you're going to see reports that come out that say the White Sox offered 8 years, $300 million. And if that comes out, the Sox offer eight for $300 million, and he goes to the Yankees for the exact same deal or $20 million more, I'm just telling you that he wasn't coming here anyway. So, like, when a White Sox fan goes, oh, why wouldn't you just give him the $20 million? It wasn't about it. Like, at that point, you know, $20 million is $20 million. I know we always go, oh, what's the difference between $320 and $300? Well, $20 million. But in New York, I mean, I just really believe, like, the White Sox won't lose because they're being cheap. I just want to be clear on that. I don't think – if they're either in Machado or they're not, and they know that now. They know that today as we sit here and tape this podcast – whether they're going to be in the game or not.
He says that he prefers to play shortstop.
Yep.
There is a report from John Heyman of FanCred. Is that where he is? FanCred Sports?
FanRag.
That, you know, he would play third for the right situation, for the right team.
That would not be this team.
Yeah. So he'd be playing shortstop for the White Sox.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that you get Manny Machado, you say, yeah, you can play shortstop. I mean, we've already talked about the potential for Yoan Moncada to switch positions, be that go over to third base or somewhere else. We've talked about it in reference to Nick Madrigal, who is a single A, you know, going to have his first full year in professional baseball next year. Certainly not the track record of Manny Machado. And we've talked about sliding Tim Anderson or Yoan Moncada somewhere off of their middle infield spot for him. So you get Manny Machado, I think you make that move. But at the same time, it is interesting because a lot of the other big-name free agents, be it this year or next season that we've talked about, there's a lot of third basemen available. Yeah. Do you say, Manny Machado, if you're going to want to play shortstop and force two of our players who we view as long-term pieces to learn new positions at the major league level, maybe we'll go the third base route instead?
Well, you know what the White Sox need. They need a third baseman. If they can't get Machado and he's not going to play third, they need a third baseman with a Chris Sale, Jose Quintana contract on a team that's rebuilding. I didn't think this existed. And then I found one.
I got one.
And I'm going to tell you about him next here on the White Sox Talk podcast. Quick break, and we're back in a moment.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC. Can't get enough of your Bulls? Tune in every single game day to Bulls pregame and flip back after the action for postgame live all season long. All 82 games, only on NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, so you want to know who this player is?
Desperately.
Who's this third baseman? Young third baseman, team-friendly deal, big upside for him. The team's rebuilding. Go ahead and guess.
Do you not want me to guess?
Go ahead and guess.
He's playing Arizona?
No.
Oh, I was going to say Lamb.
I don't believe, has a ton of team control left.
And he didn't have a good year either.
I have no idea what his contractual. I'm just taking a stab at somebody who's, you know, a good player.
All right. His name is, or should I tell you the team? When I went the player.
I like guessing, but I know the people that are listening to this don't care about it.
Vinny wants the player.
I want the team.
You want the team?
Yeah.
Well, if I give you the team, you'll know the player.
All right. Then
so here it is. Eugenio Suarez.
Okay.
Of the Reds. Yeah. Who all batted? Right. This was his slash line. 283, 366, 526. 34 homers, 104 RBIs. He's on the Reds, if I haven't said that already. 27 years old. He signed a 7-year, $66 million extension. He signed through 2025. He signed it last spring.
Okay. All right.
Great defender.
That's worth it.
Yeah? What are you giving up for him, boys?
Well,
big time.
And you are, but let me go back a second. I don't know if they're going to do it.
It's a great name, Chuck.
Because they're like, they're rebuilding, but they're putting their whole rebuild on, not whole rebuild.
Why would they trade him if they're rebuilding?
So that's the question that I have to ask. But if you look at what the White Sox have in their farm system and what the Reds have and don't have in their farm system, I am not combing the frickin' minor league system of the Reds. I don't know them that well. But I know what they're lacking in the major leagues, and that's pitching. And they've got a third baseman who, on the surface, would look pretty good for the White Sox. And it's also cost-controlled for 70 or 6 years.
Yeah, it's their package starts with Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. I while it's a perfect name and a great fit, at this point, I'm not willing to relinquish the – we're not – you talk about where's the rebuild and speeding it up. I'm not – I can tell you one thing. I'm not ready to sit there and go, okay, well, let's start trading these assets for what appears to be a stud third baseman. He was an all-star this year. Superstar year. But you're hoping that you have a collection of budding superstars, and you're just not at a point right – if this was going into 2021 or 2020 maybe even, then I think we will definitely know a lot more about the prospects. But I'm more willing to spend, you know, $50 million a year – on the sure thing and keep my other equity than I am to trade my equity for the guy with the team-friendly deal.
Yeah, when you talk about free agency versus trades, so often the phrase is, it's only money. It only costs you money. And yeah, that's a lot of money, but think about how much better you are if you spend that money on a comparable third baseman and you still have Dylan Cease and Dane Dunning.
Okay, so maybe you get him an outfielder, maybe you throw in some other pitcher. It may not be Dylan Cease. Who knows? But
I mean,
I went looking for the non-Machado, non-Arenado, like high price. Because the other part of it is this, and you kind of alluded to it. I mean, the White Sox could be like, yeah, we want Machado. We can't get Machado. We want Arenado. Well, they also have to want the White Sox. And if that doesn't happen, they got to find a third baseman. Between now and, say, 2020, they got to find somebody. And
by the way, if it is – I'm looking at Lamb here, down year, obviously. Had an all-star year the year before that. Not a great average hitter. He's a 247 career hitter, but power hitter, 29 homers in 16, 30 and 17. He only played in 56 games this year. Arizona's basically said we're wiping the slate clean. He's not a free agent until 2021. So you're getting 2 years of Jake Lamb coming off of a down year for a team that's already said we're selling. It's going to cost you, but I don't think it's going to cost you what you're thinking.
Okay. So, by the way, if they're able to sign Anthony Rendon in 2020, they could essentially have a Rendon, a Rondon, and a Rodon.
Bravo, Chuck. Bravo.
That in Chicago will go over really well.
Yeah. Everybody will have the same name. Yeah. All three of them will have the same
everybody
name.
That'll make
Rondon.
Me crazy. Everybody like Rendon and Rondon and Rodon.
Everybody will be Rondon for sure.
A couple things before we go. Last winter, the Orioles were listening to trade offers for Manny Machado. Do you foresee the Rockies doing the same with Arenado this winter meeting? The Rockies are in a position to maybe contend again, so they may not want to do it, but do you think we could have a repeat of what we saw last winter, and would the White Sox possibly be like, hey, we want Arenado for 2020 because we didn't get Machado, or it doesn't sound like we're going to get Machado. Let's try plan B with Arenado.
I think absolutely you're going to have Arenado trade rumors this winter. If you look at the Rockies farm system, they've got a couple very highly rated infielders at the top of not just their rankings, but baseball's rankings when it comes to guys.
Brendan Rodgers, I believe.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers is a top 10 prospect, if I'm not mistaken. They're also going to lose DJ LeMahieu to free agency, their second baseman, so that could factor in there as well. The Rockies are, I guess you would call them a small market team, a mid-market team, I guess. And they don't kind of seem like the team that plays in the $300 million contract end of the pool. So
the last time they did it, I think, was Mike Hampton.
And that did not go over well.
Did they sign Denny Nagel, too?
Yeah. Both. I think Mike Hampton's still getting paid for that.
It could be. But, yeah, I think you look at that and say, can we get a huge package of prospects for one of the best players in baseball who we're going to lose next year anyway? I think that makes a ton of sense for Colorado. As for the White Sox, I think you're probably going to hear a lot of similar stuff that you heard last year with Machado, and I think the same points would apply. That, with the exception of there's no real third base prospect coming up quick in the White Sox rebuild.
Interesting.
I think for sure with Arenado, I feel for some reason I think the fit is better with Arenado on the White Sox than Manny Machado. Now, it sounds insane. Either one of them will do just fine. I'm going to put that out there because they're going to cost roughly the same amount. Scott Boras is the agent for Nolan Arenado, which means he will not be signing an offseason extension. We know that, which will enter. Basically, Colorado has a decision to make.
Yeah.
They signed Charlie Blackmon to a long-term extension last offseason. Are they all in with this core group? I think I saw some quotes earlier this season about how they were going to kind of go all in this season, see how it resonated, see where they finished, and then go from there. They have a lot. They're tied up big time. They spent a ton of money in their bullpen.
Yeah,
like $100 million dollars in the back end of their bullpen.
And it didn't work.
Ian Desmond has an awful contract. He has like 2 years left on that deal. DJ LeMahieu mentioned Scott Blackmon. Obviously, he's getting paid. They're committed to a lot of money. So it would not surprise me that Nolan Arenado would re-sign come free agent time. His numbers are insane. But, again,
His road splits scare me.
Every time
he's an average third baseman on the road.
They are drastic.
Vinny pointed those out to me.
He slashes like for his career, it's like 260, 310, 4 something on the road.
Just this past season alone, the 2018 season, his OPS at Coors Field was a north of 1,100. And
they're good.
And yeah, it's all right. And that, and away from Coors Field, right around 775.
Yeah, you guys pretty said drastic. Yeah, he's a 263, 318, 469 slash line away. Home, 320, 374, 609.
I mean, I'm batting 300 at Coors Field right now with at least a 400 slugging. And
he's played 400. I didn't see that. This is great because he's played 438 games at home and 438 games on the road.
Yep.
Even Steven. All right, let's close the podcast with two questions I'm going to ask you guys.
By the way, that would make complete sense.
What's that?
That would make complete sense because they do play 81 on the road and 81.
Well, yeah,
but
he could be hurt.
Yeah.
You know,
he's got to play every day.
Yeah. It made some sense. If it didn't make sense, we would have told you. All right, going to close with two questions. Number one, chances White Sox sign Machado on a percentage basis. I haven't even thought about what my answer is.
I have an idea.
8%?
I was going to say 10, so I'll stick with that.
10. You know what? Just for argument's sake, I'll go 11. So I win
the
if they
price
won.
Is right. Price is right. Strategy. Yeah, there you go.
11% chance. And then this is the toughest question. Who will be the Sox third baseman in 2020? I mean,
that person is not on the roster right now.
100% not on the roster. Okay.
Whether they're going to be the caliber of a Nolan Arenado, I have no idea. But they are not on. They are not on the roster currently.
In 2020, I want to listen to this podcast.
I'm going to give you a name,
and because we're going to have an answer. Because as we sit here, it could be, I mean, Machado, Arenado, Rendon.
Could be Yoán Moncada.
Yoán Moncada. Yeah.
Could be Josh Donaldson. I mean,
could be Josh Donaldson.
I'm gonna say they're landing one of the fish.
Whoa!
I'm going Arenado.
You're all in on Arenado.
I'm saying they're landing one, because everyone else says no.
That'd be nice for them.
Yeah,
that would really help. That would really help things.
So I got to come up with an answer.
It'd be nice for everyone, quite frankly. It would be good.
Not the Rockies.
Well. Not my problem.
I kind of want to answer.
They have great, but you mentioned the prospect depth. They have great prospect depth. Trevor Story's, he can move over to third. I mean, they've.
Maybe it'll be Jake Lamb.
You know, they were going to be like, yeah, maybe it'll be Jake Lamb. They had talked about how do you replace Troy Tulowitzki? Oh, with a guy who's better. I mean, Denver just seems to find guys.
Well.
Draft guys.
I don't have an answer.
Chuck, you got to have an
answer. I
got to
have
one. Question.
I know.
The best part, yeah, there's no number you can put on it like, oh, I'll just go 11.
No easy way out in this one.
No, there isn't. I'm going Arenado.
Oh,
I'm going Arenado.
Two for Arenado.
I'm taking Guff's choice. So there it is. And Scott Boras will be the agent. It'll make it happen.
Yeah, 7 years, $210 million.
Okay.
Let's get it done.
All right. Good stuff. Well, we'll be having a lot of free agent talk here on the White Sox Talk podcast over the coming days and weeks ahead, so be on the lookout for that. And you've been listening to the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking, free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, it's all yours.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.